Let us bow and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to your presence this evening by the blood of Jesus. We confess our sins, and so we claim the blood from all unrighteousness. Father, as we gather here, we are grateful. Thank you for the prayers of the fathers that has created this atmosphere for us to gather. Thank you, Father, for always honoring us with your presence, even as we gather. Not because we deserve it, but because you have just chosen to dwell amongst us. We do not take it for granted. I come, Lord, under the authority of said spiritual fathers, in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and the bishop of my soul. Father, I is conscious to strip myself of every confidence that my head has, my knowledge or ability to share. I place all my confidence afresh in your mercies, in the grace of the Lord Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit, to enable me to bring a word in season, to strengthen and to encourage us. I ask for help, Holy Spirit, let your word go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort, and in the love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and lives, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened by revelation that comes from the word, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Also ask for grace to redeem the time, not to say things that are necessary. Lord, Holy Spirit, I set you at my right hand. Thank you for giving me what to say in this hour. Blessed be your name, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the opportunity to share. Once again, I do not take it for granted. And I also want to honor my parents, Pastor and Mommy. Even though they are not here, I thank them for the privilege to share. And all the daughters all these years, everything seems to be coming together. You know, every coming to years. You see, if you meditate on the words, like Pastor said some time ago, I think he said something like, it's as if what we are hearing now, they are just things to refresh our minds. You see, as this, we finish, so to speak, in not out of pride, the syllabus, the one you studied, basics, everything, in principle. So what we are just doing now is that we're just, the exams have come, you know, and we are doing the exams, you know, are just being refreshed and everything, and we're expecting the results, you know, which is the manifestation of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. So as I was waiting on God, trusting for something to share, this Lord dropped this word in my heart. Strength in the day of adversity. Let's say it together. Strength in the day of adversity. We are in the days of adversity, or in the day of adversity. This is a particular day, this third day. You know, the Bible says the great and the terrible day of the Lord. As I was sitting down there before I came out, I believe the Lord spoke to my heart, said the darkest hour is before dawn. Everybody says, the rise shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He said, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness shall cover the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you. So the darkest hour is before dawn. You know, in which the enemy is throwing everything he can throw, releasing all forms of darkness, you know, to try and discourage God's people, to weary our hands, to enable to trust, seeking to make us faint. You see, and God does not want us to faint. You say, we will not faint in Jesus. We will not faint in Jesus' name. The reason why we are not going to faint is because God is coming on the scene. He's going to appear on the scene to strengthen his people so we can fulfill purpose and destiny. Let's open our Bible to Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. Proverbs 24, verse 10. I was impressed by what Pastor was sharing. You know, it's the same thing. The dream is one. You know, this is the greatest time to be alive. You know, and like I was saying, when I was talking about good morning Jesus and coming to pray every morning, it's very important. No, a weekly, some people will not do it again. We need to do it a few days ago. I was just reading my Bible casually. You want me casually? I want you just reading. You know, I Lord spoke to for Hebrews chapter, before I go to Proverbs, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Hebrews 3, verse 13 in KJV. Just before we go to this one, I just minister as the Lord helps you today. Hebrews 3, that says, but exhort what? One another. How, when? Daily. Say daily. We've come to a daily issue now. It's no more weekly. It's no more monthly. He said, exhort one another daily. Why it is called today? Lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. Because there is sin in the air. There is sin in our soul and flesh. You see, if you don't hear this sin daily, there is a tendency for sin to harden your heart. That it sleeps. You won't know what the thing happens. You know, before you can miss church for a week and then you come back again, you're still bouncing. But you see, we have come into a day in which, you see, the Bible says, exhort one another daily. We can't afford to take things easy again. The day of salvation. You see, the enemy has increased the fire of affliction sevenfold. That is why I said God will step on the scene.
So the Son of Man to ask to appear as the fourth man in the fire to deliver us. You see, but we must not be afraid of the fire that has been turned sevenfold. Let's go back to 4:24 verse 10. I had the light affliction. 4:24 verse 10. Are we there? It says, 24 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is what? Small. Let's again. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. From that scripture, we see two basic things. God does not expect us to faint in the day of adversity. So if we faint, it says that your strength is what? Is small. And then the second thing is that we need enough strength. Not that you don't, this guy didn't have strength, but wasn't enough. So he said, if you faint in the day of adversity, what does he say? He said that thy strength is small. So that means if you have enough strength, sufficient strength, you will not faint. So what does it mean when we talk about the day of adversity and all that? You see, the strength we are talking about is not physical strength, even though it is part of it. We are talking about spiritual strength to fulfill purpose and destiny, or to reach out to and grab what God has promised you. We must not faint. We cannot afford to faint. Therefore, God is stepping on the scene. The Bible said, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and get out of myself. So, you see, I give an example just as I was standing there. I don't want to forget, you know, in Judges chapter 8, verse 4. You see, it's not physical strength. It will give back to physical strength, but it's not physical strength we are talking about. Judges chapter 8, verse 4. When God had told Gideon that he should go ahead and that he should pursue those Midianites and all that, I would say, and Gideon came to what? Jordan. And passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, they faint, yet pursuing. That is, they came to a place in which they were faint. But God came on the scene and gave them strength. So you don't have to faint in the upper justice. God gave them strength. That's what happened here. He said the 300 men, they got to the Jordan, the place of death. Gideon's army. And what happened? He said they were faint, but they kept on pursuing. How can you pursue when you are faint? It is because why? God comes on the scene and strengthens his people so that he can fulfill the purpose for which he has called them. Praise the Lord. So I put here, I said the end time is a time and a day of adversity, as you all know. Adversity speaks of trouble, troublous times, difficult times. These are difficult times, terrible times. And let's just look at examples in the Bible. We already know it, just to put some scriptures behind this thing, so we can have an idea of what is going on. See, Bible says, you know, not that we should have faith in those things that are happening, but when you see them happen, you know that, okay, this is actually, Baba has mentioned it. I follow him. So, Luke chapter 21, verse 9, in Amplify, just keeps on. But see, the Lord was talking to them about the end time. You know, Luke 21, verse 9, Amplify, please. Amplify, he explains, makes it clearer so we can understand why we need strength. Amplified, okay. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, that says that disturbances, disorder, and confusion, do not become alarmed and panic-stricken and terrified. For all these things must take place first, but the end will not come immediately. Disturbances, disorder, confusion. Look at America. They don't know what their president would do. Just makes a decision anyhow. Everybody's jittery. You don't know what. Anyway, let's leave the guy alone. Verse 10. Then what does he say? Then he told them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. You see, there's a difference there. Nation against nation speaks about natural nations. You know, but when it comes to kingdom against kingdom, talk about kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. The people of God must be aware. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of the devil has risen up. They've tapped up their act. So we're in the war. Verse 11. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There will be mighty and violent earthquakes and in various places, famines and pestilence, plagues, malignant and contagious or infectious epidemic diseases, which are deadly and devastating. And there will be sights of terror and great signs from heaven. We're reading over verse 22. Just to give us a picture. For those are the days of vengeance, of rendering full justice or satisfaction, and all things that are written must be fulfilled. This is the end time. It's the day of vengeance. 25. Alas, for those that are pregnant and for those that have babies,
which are not seen those days, for great mystery and anguish and distress shall be upon the land, and irrigation and punishment and distribution upon these people. Verse 26. 26. Men swooning away or aspiring with fear and dread and apprehension and expectation of the things that are coming on the world. For the very powers of the heavens will be shaken and caused to totter. Last verse, verse 27. And then they will see what? The Son of Man coming in a cloud with great transcendent and overwhelming power and all his kingly glory, majesty and splendor. It is in this season that God will manifest his glory. Are you following me? So that's why God wants us to keep our eyes on this verse. That is why he wants to give us strength. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 talks about it. He says that, know ye the Spirit speaketh expressly in the last days. Put amplified. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says, but understand this, that in the last days will come setting is already set because of the consequences of the sin that man has been committing. So it's already set. We are in the harvest time of both good and evil. I follow me. Set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Next verse. But for people who be lovers of self, utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused and with by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contentious boasters, they will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. Next verse. They will be without natural human affection, callous and unhuman, relentless, admitting of no truth or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of God. Next verse. Haters of good, sorry. Yeah. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements, more than and rather than lovers of God. It's all over. You just will take a brief detour. You know, it amazes me. When I see, in those days, the way you recognize a madman is the way you see his hair and what he wears. But now, you know, a madman will laugh at people today because these ones are mad. I'm telling you a fact. These things are spirits. People don't know. They call it, they think it's fashion. In those days, you how do you know a madman? When you look at this, that's the first thing. Late Yahweh. But it's the exact opposite now. If you cut your hair, you know, you will look like you're not normal. So that is the end time. Bible says set. I follow me. But God has a joker. Now let me put the other continue. I say, don't take time off unnecessarily. I said to faint spiritually in the day of adversity is to lose hope or to give up hope. You see, when the Bible says you faint in the day of adversity, it means you lose hope, you give up hope. Are you following me? We faint, and now where do we faint? The Bible makes it very clear. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, amplified. We faint in the mind. Fainting starts in the mind before it shows in the physical. It starts in the mind. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, amplified. What does it say? Just think of him. Let's go. Just think of him who endured from sin and such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may what? Not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your mind. Say, fainting goes on in the mind. And it's a plot of Satan. I don't have time to tell him. Daniel, he said that the spirit, this is a spirit that has been sent to wear down the saints of God. But if you notice, it's that same time that the saints possessed the kingdom. So fainting goes on in the mind. I put it there. We talked before. You know, there are two hopes I'm going to concentrate on. The hope of God's promise to you. Say the hope of God's promise to me. That is when I talk about that. I'm talking about things that God has promised you. Healing, health, prosperity. It's a hope if you don't have it. Like Abraham. God promised Abraham my child. But it came to a time he lost hope. The Bible says, against hope, he believed. It was a time that he said, he looks, maybe let Eliezer live. When God said, no, that one, okay. The second time again, he said, maybe it's just my God said, no. So whatever promise that God has given you, you know, that Satan has hindered, because God has not withheld good from people. Are you following me? It's an adversity in that situation.
So God does not want you to lose hope. God does not want you to lose hope. Yes, so that God wants that hope to come alive. So that is the first hope I'm talking about. You know? And then the second hope is the hope of the manifestation of the glory of God. So it applies to what? At both levels, the hope of the glory. I was like, Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. So I don't know what you are trusting God for. I don't know what you've been believing God for. It looks absolutely impossible. But you know, there's a saying in those days, when you are playing, it is the last, you know, when everybody will assume that this thing is over, it can happen again. Then God comes on the scene. That's when glory goes to him. That's when God gave a promise to Abraham, when it was okay. If he had given birth immediately, maybe at the age of 70 or whatever, what is the meaning of the promise? Because normally, conception is natural. Even mad people give birth to children, right or wrong. So, but when God gave the promise, why would God give the promise of something if there's no difficulty ahead? Look, don't you understand what I'm saying? If why will you take medicine if you're when you're not well? Get what I'm saying? So when God gave that promise, the only way God will take glory is for that thing to come to a place where Abraham cannot boast. So when God gives a promise, most times we are happy, we rejoice. There are a lot of promises that God has given in the Bible. But you see, when you start bragging about it, you are so sure that, oh, this is how it's going to happen. I just know exactly. You are in for a rude awakening. Because God will not take any glory from me, because you'll be bragging about all the place. And when I did this, God spoke to me, that's all you will say. Then I did this, as if it's you that did the thing. God will have mercy on us. So, those are the two levels of what I'm talking about. Are you following me? Because you need faith for it. Hope of the promises that God has given you, husband, whatever, I don't care, any job, whatever it is, you know in your heart. And then the second hope, which is the most important hope, is the hope of the manifestation of glory of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 7, we know it is on there. Say, Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. Now, I put it, I said this, there are symptoms to know whether you have started fainting in the mind. It's very simple. The first thing that will happen is your joy will disappear. Say, your joy will disappear. Our joy will not disappear in Jesus' name. Those are the symptoms. And that is the critical thing that we need to watch for. You that you've been rushing to for choir practice, you know, doing everything before, gym. They call it spirit gym. All of a sudden, the thing just drops. Good morning, Jesus. It's time for good morning, Jesus. Then you that used to come early. It's so amazing. People come late to church in natural. They also come late to church on cyber upper room. You know where people join? You will see. This one entered. This one left. This one entered. This one left. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. They brought the church to your house. And you are still coming late. God have mercy on us. So the first thing that disappears is joy. Say joy. And God does not want that to happen. You know why? You know why joy is very critical? Are you following me? For two reasons. Pastor spoke about faith recently, about last week. It takes joy to exercise faith. Yes, so it takes joy to exercise faith. And without faith, you cannot please God. You can't get anything without faith. So once your joy goes out, joy gives you strength. Yes, once that joy goes out, find next thing your faith goes down. Somewhere in Isaiah says that, with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. So that's in Isaiah 12. You come and pray. Pastor says, in Jesus' name we have life, we receive your blood. There's no joy. In Jesus' name we have life, Lord have mercy on us. The joy is gone. You're just repeating. That will not be a portion of joy. But has it happened to you before? It's happened to me many times. I follow me. I just, in Jesus' name we have life. Blah, 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 blah. And then we made the confessions. You know, until God comes in and then they think, what happened to me? It's the joy. So you see, when the enemy attacks, that is his ploy in days of adversity. Either concerning God's promise to you or the hope of his calling upon our lives. What he does with those adversities is to discourage us. Is to weaken our hands. So that we can lose joy. And once that joy goes, it affects our faith. And like Pastor Fed says, yeah, this year is going to be very critical. It's a year for you to learn to walk by faith. Seeing the invisible. Open to Philippians chapter 1, verse 25. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Paul was talking. It was some difficult times. He was talking to Philippians. Look at what he said. He said, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all what for the forbearance and what the joy of faith. So there is joy in exercising faith. You see, this time, if you look at Paul, he was in a difficult situation. He said, I'm not sure whether I should just depart. Like Pastor, what you were talking about, this dude is so me. He said, to go is far better. But he said, I'm going to stay. Why? For the furtherance of the gospel and for your joy of faith. So, you see, once that joy goes out, which is Satan's flaw in days of adversity, I follow him. You can't exercise faith like you should. That scripture I quoted in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. So anytime you come to pray, just as an example, it could be any other thing. I come to pray, and it says, therefore, rejoice that you would draw water out of the wells of salvation. So once you start drawing water, which is life of God, and your joy is not there, it's like, oh God, or you are dozing. Something has happened. Go and check the joy. So take your steps backwards. Praise the Lord. So I put it, I said, we faint in our mind. I mentioned already. And I put, make it more clear. When the picture that of God, God has promised us grows dim. See, when God gives you a promise, he gives a picture. You know, like you're sitting down, like Pastor Gus said, and God whispers to you. You see, because God is one that spoke to you, the life, it automatically comes with life and light. So you say, whoa, that's why when you're reading your Bible and God shares something, whoa, you say, whoa. Why? Because you saw it, not physically. You saw it with the eye of faith. So it's there. So, but you discover that, you see, when that picture begins to get deep, what are the things that make those things get deep? Adversity, the circumstantial difficulties, the things that Satan is bringing, the job that you just lost, this one that I believe God for, and then now you're going to be 30, this year you're not married, and then you're going to be 40, this one has not come. It's the medal that reminds you. See, God will not bring that kind of thing to you. Any thought that comes to you and brings fear and discouragement is the devil. And he comes and says, bros, you are already this now, eh? When is this thing going to happen? That's Satan. That's the devil. I follow him. So that's what happens when the light. So when he does that, because that thing brings darkness. And then the picture you saw of God, God said, begins to get dim. Gets dim. So that's why we need to fight that thing. Every day. That's why I read what I read earlier on Hebrews 3. He said, exalt one another daily. Praise the Lord. So it's not a long message. I said, why do we need strength in the day of adversity? I mentioned in point number one. I said we are in the time of the fulfillment of God's promise to us. I said we are in the time of the fulfillment of God's promise to us. That is individually and collectively. That is whatever God has spoken to you when that season and in that time. Right? You know why? The end time is a very short period. So whatever God has spoken to you must happen between now and before the rapture. Like we told, it's not up to 30. Well, the last jubilee cycle, let me just leave it as that. But in the last jubilee cycle. So whatever God has said must manifest between now and then. But you see, in that critical time, something occurs. Adversity comes in through the enemy. But God uses it. Acts chapter 7, verse 17. Acts 7, 17. Say, but when? That's right. But when? The time of what the promise drew nigh, which God has sworn to Abraham. Say, which God has sworn to Abraham. The people what grew, said they grew, and they multiplied in Egypt. When Satan saw, and God also saw, at the time of the promise came there, two things happened to the people. They grew spiritually now, and then they multiplied. Grace and peace was multiplied to them. I follow what I'm trying to say. What did happen, they didn't grow and multiply until the time of the promise. So in the time of the promise came, something happened. The people began to grow spiritually. You find that you begin to look at yourself, you're growing more in love. You are beginning to enjoy fellowship with God. You know, things are easier now. You are praying more as you are growing spiritually. At that same time, what grace and peace is being multiplied to you? Because why? It is the time of the promise. Either that God has spoken to you or the corporate promise of manifesting the glory of God. Why? Because you need spiritual growth to handle what God has promised you. Are you following my train of thought? Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. When? In that time of the promise. So why God moved in on his people and getting them ready to receive the promise, Satan too moved. Adversity. Next verse. The same dealt subtly with all our kindred and evil treated our fathers. So they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live now. And zeroing them down on the promise. He said the promise that God made to Abraham. Now, it applies to the promise that God has made to you. So when you're getting near that promise, you know what happens? Satan sets things into motion. so they can throw away your arms in the air. So they started throwing, you know, throw their children into the Nile, you know, and treat them. Next verse, verse 20. In which time? Say, in which time? What time are we talking about? The time of the promise. Moses was born and was exceeding fear and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. What are we saying? Let's zero down on the promise of his coming. It applies to the promise of the that God has promised you. When that time of the promise that God has said, I'm going to do this. So we are beginning to grow, and grace and peace is beginning to multiply. I follow him. But at that same time, Satan raises up adversity, difficult situations, things to take your eyes off the ball. That's what he does. Things to take your eyes off the ball. Can you imagine if Jesus had, you know, we don't know, but Pastor said, you know, it was some before he came into maturity was when Joseph died. What would have happened if he had quit? Or when they killed John the Baptist? It's the enemy. Adversity. You know, like we're going to look at the example of David also. He would do things to make you faint so that he now brings another picture different from what God has shown you. Hey, don't see that one again. Oh God, oh. See, this, God forbid, this thing will not kill me like this. Oh. The long life verse at the time, I'm showing my salvation, but this thing, God, is not even getting. Oh God. Oh, like, yes, thank you, sir. Like David, he said, Saul, and you say, I know for sure, or something like that, this one day Saul will kill me. You see, anytime God gives you a promise, it's not going to come usually, let me say usually, the way you think it will come. You know, when God told David, and he anointed him in the midst of his brethren, he made Israel use the anointing. He killed the bear, the lion, and he killed David. So the next thing, it looked like the promise was going to happen the next day. So he said, go and talk to him. Let him marry my daughter, Micah. He didn't know at the beginning of his problem. He would have said in his heart, like most of us, God said yesterday, he said, I should marry the king. Already when I get to the something, that maybe I'm already entered the lineage. No! You just entered fire. Don't you get mad to say, that's how we think. And God will say something, then he said, he said they've anointed me king in the place of Saul. The same son, I say, comes to the palace and work for me, and then come and marry my daughter. You die surely in a few days' time. Yeah, no, that was the beginning of his problem. are you just about to say it doesn't happen like that? So that is what happens when the promise comes. We grow spiritually, and the grace and peace is multiplied. The center also raises up under leadership or whatever that does not know Joseph, that does not know the good things you've been doing and everything, trying to stop you from getting that promise. But it has failed in Jesus' name. Now, the second thing I said is this. No, we said that when the time of the promise that God made to Abraham, say Abraham, not just anybody, not the promise to Moses, said promise to Abraham, his father, a father, the father of faith. Are you following me? So what is that promise we are going to see as we continue? Second point, it is a time to give birth to that promise. Say it is a time to give birth to that promise. If you look at that story I read, we were talking about the giving birth to Moses. You know, it started with the promise to Abraham, then started saying, when that time came, adversity came, trouble came, then the next was to start killing all the children. And when that season, the creature was supposed to give birth to the Christ. So that's why that thing is rising. Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. We know, I'll just quote it. The birth of the man child. Say, I saw a wonder in heaven. Immediately, the woman started traveling. The Bible declared the destiny of that child. He said, who will rule the nations with order of iron? He said, I saw another wonder, a great red dragon. Why did he come at the time of birth? Why? He wants to devour that child. He waited. A funny scripture in the negative. He was brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Or else many of us will not learn to travel. Many of us will not learn to travel. John chapter 16, verse 20. The master was talking. That's where we are now. Those are the bad pangs we are experiencing. The contractions. Very, very, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament. But the world shall rejoice and shall be sorrowful. For your sorrow shall be what? Turned into joy. So there must always be sorrow before joy. Next verse. A woman, when she's in travail, had sorrow because her eyes come. Say, her eyes has come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembered it no more. The anguish, remembered no more the anguish for joy that what? A man is born into the world. Man child. A person who was sharing business say, a light affliction. It's very light. That sorrow is very light concerning the man child that's going to be born. Praise the Lord. As I say, Hosea, we've read it many times, Hosea 13:13, just to mention, you know, talking about Ephraim. He said that he does not know the time. So God is trying to position him for birth. I follow him. Put it amplified. He said, but he doesn't know that that is time. You see, when things like this happen, many people give up. He said, oh, no, I'm not doing this thing again. No, I'm not doing it again. No, we are going to continue doing this until we give birth. We are going to continue to pursue, even though we are faint, like Gideon. So the pains of a woman in childbirth are coming on for him to be born. But he is an unwise son. For now, when it is time to be born, he comes not to the place where unborn children break forth. He needs new birth, but makes no effort to acquire it. The place of new birth is a place of intercession. Yes, so. Yes, so. Pastor said it. That this is, you must learn to pray. You must learn to pray. You must learn to groan all the time. The Bible says you can now use your silencer to pray. You're going away. You just sigh. People don't know what is going on. Oh, bros, wonder if Pastor Jay Ogunfe. Oh, yeah. I'm praying, boy, because I'm already in labor ward. I'm beginning to travel night and day. You know, when somebody is in labor ward, they don't stop and they just say, okay, we stop today. Once they push the person there, yeah, I follow when the air comes, you must give back. So you can't stop traveling. Okay, I will take it off tomorrow. No. I follow me. So that being said, the third point I have, I said, we need strength to give birth in this day of adversity. I already mentioned it. And God has promised that will give us strength. Let me quote a scripture that explains this and makes it clearer. Isaiah 37 verse 3. When the sky went to the house of the Lord. That's what I'm saying. The strength we need in this day is the strength to give birth to the man child. Are we there? And he said unto him, thus said Ezekiel, this day is the day of what? Trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. For what? The children have come to the birth, and there is no strength to bring forth. So what am I trying to establish? We need strength to give birth. That is the strength we need today. So because once you give birth to the man child, once you give birth, that Christ is formed in you, and Christ is manifested in you, then every other thing will pale into insignificance. That's the strength that we need to give. So don't waste your strength on frivolous things. I found seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Once you possess the kingdom, those things will be added. Praise the Lord. So that is that. That's why we need strength to give birth. And then not only to give birth, to enter into rest. It takes strength to give birth. When you not give birth, they cannot enter rest. Like God rested on the seventh day. If you want to give birth to the Christ child, you just enter. When I say enter, now you're not doing anything. But you see, you put like pastor, you put in autopilot. You now become a king. You begin to rule in the midst of enemies, begin to scatter evil. You are laboring, but not like before. Praise the Lord. Psalm 94, verse 13. Psalm 94, verse 13. Psalm 94, verse 13. Let me through this prayer. Are we there? Okay. What do you say? That thou mayest what? Give him what? Rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. Not just those that are unbelievers, but Christians that will not obey God's instructions. So we need that strength. Are you following me? To give birth. And after giving birth, to enter into the rest of God. Praise the Lord. Now, very simple. How do we receive this strength you are trusting God for? He said that God wants to give us strength in the days of adversity. And the reason why people faint in their mind is because the strength is small. How do we get this strength? It's very simple. By waiting upon the Lord. Say, by waiting upon the Lord. So when we talk about waiting upon the Lord, what our mind goes to is basically just fasting. But it's beyond fasting. It's like a waiter waiting on on the customer to take the order. So not just one, fasting is one aspect, and it's very critical. Thank God we're in the season, we are fasting.
are you following me? Because when you fast, you're weak. You abstain from eating physical food. Also abstain from other things also. You cut them down. It's not just the abstinence from food. You abstain, you know, from, I don't want to mention anything, so people I'm not getting on people's cases, but you know, things that distract you. The time you spend on your phone, you reduce it. You spend more time in the Word. People don't like to hear that. You know, you can't spend the same time on your WhatsApp on a fasting day, the same day you spend when you're not fasting. I'm not saying don't use it. But when you start doing that, you see, people have zeroed down, waiting on God only on fasting. That's a part of it. But Isaiah 58, he talks about doing certain things I need to do. You fast a lot of things. Let me use that word. You fast a lot of things. You don't find your own pleasures. You don't do your own thing. You don't exert all your labor. I follow him. So that things do. I put it, I say, by waiting upon the Lord. Say, by waiting upon the Lord. See, when you start waiting upon the Lord, in these four areas, we'll go through them. I'll go in depth. In fasting, say fasting. In prayer. Also in meditation in the Word. And fellowship with the saints in Zion. Those are the four areas. I believe we have to wait on God. You see, when you exercise yourself in these areas, what God does is he gives you grace. Say, he gives us grace. See, because those things humble you. Because you submit your will. What is not convenient? I've read my Bible for today. I've gone through the daily Rhema. You know, in less than 30 minutes, you are done. Then you want to pick up something. I said, no, let me. It's beyond that. You see, what we are talking about, folks, is beyond daily Rhema. Good morning, yours is a booster. Don't forget to. It's not a substitute, it's a booster. Understand? So you don't say, okay, I've done this one now. It's okay, I don't need to do anything again. No. You know, I take that. Just like I said, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribe and Pharisee. He said, shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. So you can't just settle down and say, okay, I've done it now, and then you mark it for that day, and fine. No. Praise the Lord. So, first, I put fasting. We quote it often. Say, if my people are called by my name, shall humble myself and seek my face, you know, I'll hear from heaven. So it's good to fast. When you fast, one of the things that happen when you fast is that your light will break forth as the morning. I said that when you faint in your mind earlier on, it's when that thing, the picture God has given you starts getting dim. So when you wait upon the Lord in fasting and pray, what happens? God restores that light. The light breaks forth at the morning. And your darkness is what? As the noonday. That's why fasting is very critical. It restores that light to you. I follow that. I said, George, I said, for the joy, once you have a light, that joy is restored. That is set before me. He endured the adversity. He despised the shame. Initially, he couldn't go because my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. But when he got into the place of prayer and he kept on praying, he pushed back that darkness, that adversity at that time. So he saw something beyond the cross. He saw himself raised from the dead on the third day. Are you following me? So that is that. You know, I already mentioned Isaiah, you know, 58 verse 8 and verse 14. Let's do Isaiah 58 verse 14 just to put the scripture behind it. 58 verse 14 says, then shall thou what delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high priest of the earth and feed thee with the edge of Jacob the father for the mother. You see, for you to ride upon the high priest, you need strength. That's why Habakkuk said something when he said, if there's no flock in this, he said, yeah, will I join? He said, the Lord will cause me my feet like hands' feet, and I will ride upon it. So when you wait upon the Lord, God gives you strength. Because when you start fasting, physically you are weak. You're testing your soul. Spiritually. So God now has to give you strength. Because in that place you are waiting on Him. Praise the Lord. The next aspect is you now begin to pray. Say pray. We talked about prayer. But again, not to overemphasize, not just ordinary prayer. Are you following me? When you pray, we're not talking about praying the understanding. We pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. That is the kind of prayer that can give birth. There cannot be any giving. We can't give birth without travail. You have to travail. There's no giving birth. Or else, don't even bother. Why do you get pregnant in the first place when you didn't plan to travail? Why are you looking at me? Yes, you need to travail. God is not going to do not going to do any operation. He's taking us straight to the labor ward. So instead of doing any whatever, He will just give us strength to give birth. Praise the Lord. I'll look at some scriptures to explain this that God brought to my mind, you know, earlier on this year, you know, when I was being disturbed by some of these circumstances and wondering what is all this. Then God spoke to me from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. I said later on that we need strength to give birth and to enter into rest. Now let's see how we're going to enter into that give birth. And amplify it.
Say, let us therefore be what? Zealous. And exert ourselves. Say, exert ourselves. And strive what? Diligently. To enter that rest of God.
To know and to experience it for ourselves. That no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. Now, look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, and link those verses together. Same thing talking about. You see, this thing is not, you're not going to be, you can't be a gentleman to get this thing done. At least just take it, okay, maybe I'll just do it. Yes, that's what I'm saying. And from the days of John the Baptist, until this present time, the kingdom of heaven has what? Endured violent assault. And violent men seize it by force as a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom. Is sought with what? Most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Say intense exertion. I didn't write the Bible. You have to exert yourself. Bulldoze something down. Hey, Satan is not going to allow you just walking freely. Okay, God has prophesied. And you know, if you look at the story of Paul. Let me give the example of Paul. Paul, I put it down here. Thank you for reminding me, Lord. God spoke to Paul. You know, we gave the example of, David. After God spoke to him. And whatever God has spoken to him, and I see the thing happen. Well, Paul, I don't know, in Acts, the man did not just appear to him. What can be greater than that? I said, don't worry, Paul. You're going to testify before me in Rome. I thought that was a done deal. But look at what happened. I put the verses down when I was... No, God, I mean, if Jesus Christ were to appear to you and say, don't worry, you're going to fulfill your destiny. There's no problem. You'll be very happy. But no, it's not like that. It's not going to happen like that. The same thing with David that we mentioned earlier on. So Jesus has appeared to Paul in somewhere in Acts and says that, don't worry, Paul. He said, you encourage him. And say, you're going to testify for me. But we know the story. Maybe we're Acts, I think Acts chapter 27 or so. What happened? When they were going, they had a shipwreck. Before then, they said that they got to place it. In the third day, we cast off our tacklings. You can put it on the board. I can't remember exact verse. He said that things got so bad that every hope of being saved had gone. All the things they had labored for, they threw them into the sea. They lost hope. But meanwhile, God has spoken to him that he was going to appear before you in Rome. How many people have God spoken to today? How many people has God... The question I'm saying is, why would God tell you something? Are you following me? If there's no problem ahead. It was Papa Egan that said this thing. He said, anytime there is something that is very critical, the Holy Spirit comes and speaks with an authoritative voice. Anytime God speaks to you, I'm not talking about, you perceive. He comes and says, so. That means that is very critical. A virgin shall conceive. Look at the tribulations. So you can imagine what happened. God has spoken to Peter and Paul. He said, don't worry, Paul. Put it on the body and find it. He says, okay, I don't know where. If you can find that verse before coming here, the book of Acts. God has spoken to him and said, don't worry, Paul. He said, he encouraged him. Somebody, I think it was in Corinth. If you find it on the body, let me put it there just to put some scripture there. We're going to stop very soon. No, God spoke to him and said, don't worry, Paul. You're going to testify before me in Rome. If it was you and I, say, praise God, that's another door of ministry. A perpetual open door that God has opened for me. You know, that you call you a pastor. I say, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and honor. No, not this one. There is somewhere that he said that he's going to testify for you. Anyway, if you don't find it, no problem. Not this one. Jesus Christ appeared to him. He said, you're going to testify me for you in your room. So God already charted this. Acts 23. 23, 11. Thank you. 23, 11. 23, 11. Acts 23. And the night following, the Lord stood by him. Said, Lord, will stand by you in Jesus' name. And said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. At Rome. Notice that word must. Must in the Greek means binding. So we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom. So Jesus Christ spoke to him.
But he didn't tell him the things that will come to pass. Because he won't go on that journey that day. But Paul will go, because Paul was very bold. But for somebody like Peter or someone like me, I won't go. No, because let's just camp here. Like Peter says, let's just three tabernacles here. There's no more. Why do you want to go to Rome? God, you can send emails now or pray for people to raise up laborers there. So, but you know what happened? He said in the third day that they cast off their tacklings, you know, and all that, and all that. But the way I'm getting to is because I'm talking about prayer now. In the midst of all that, Paul said, after long abstinence, that same God that spoke and sent his angel. I said, the Lord of whom I serve, angel, something like that, you know, stood before me and said, there shall be no loss of any lives. So let's say there shall be no loss of any lives on our way to fulfill our destiny. Praise the Lord. So you know that is what happened. So we need to pray. And not just ordinary prayer. Could we just have been praying in tongues in the boat, in that ship? No, let's talk now. Then maybe we'll doze off again. No. You can't do that. But you see, if that kind of thing does not come, many of us will not pray. Many of us will not pray. Or we'll pray, but not with that kind of intensity. So that's why God allows it to come. The pressure comes on you. So your growing that time is different. You're not going to just take it easy and say, it is done in Jesus' name. No. Nothing is done, no? Until you pray. So the next thing we need to do, okay, on prayer again, I'll just mention the scripture, Job chapter 40, verse 15. Pastor shared about it, about the behemoth. You know, Job chapter 40, verse 15. 40, 15. Are we there? It says, Behold now behemoth, which I made with thee, he heated grass as an ox. That's our apostolic strength. Next verse. Lo, now his strength is where in his loins, and his force is where the navel of his belly. Obviously, God is not talking about your physical belly. That strength is talking about your strength from your spirit man when you begin to pray. I will share another scripture when I was reading the book of Job recently. I saw another scripture. Job chapter, yes, rivers of living water. Yes, Job chapter 3, verse 24. It's another scripture again, which if you read in natural, you don't understand it. Job chapter 3, verse 24. Out of his belly shall flow. Say, for my sign cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. Paul says, shall roar out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. So he's not talking here about eating. We also have rivers of living water. Say, my sign. You see, that's why you see. That's why he said, take heed lest your heart be overcharged with surfeiting. So you see, this kind of prayer, you can't load to go and do it. The water will not come out in the measure that's supposed to come out. So he's not talking about eating natural food. It is talking about that, but it's not talking about that. I say, for my sign, cometh before I eat. So wake up in the morning before you start eating. You draw life. Are you following me? And my roarings are poured out. Like what? The waters. Out of his belly shall flow. Rivers of living water. Deep collect unto deep. You don't load to go and pray with all kinds of prayer. It won't work. The water will come down in trickles. That will come out in trickles. That's why the master says, very clear. He said, take heed so that your hearts are not overcharged with suffering and drunkenness. He said, watch ye and pray always. We need this kind of prayer to get the waters out in sufficient measure. Praise the Lord. So, the third thing I put, I said, meditation in the word. That is obvious. When you meditate in the word, what happens? You see light. Light is restored. That's why you keep on meditating. You keep the word before you. Are you following me? So that you should start. Because I'm talking about waiting upon the Lord to receive strength. And the last thing is fellowship with the saints in Zion. Say fellowship with the saints in Zion. Psalm 84, verse 7 is amplified. That is why it says, don't forsake the assembly of yourself together. Much more the soul as you see the day approaching. You see, when you start feeling weak and faint, do everything to join the cyber operum. As a booster, then come, let's gather together. You hear a word like this, a word of encouragement comes and strength is ministered to you. Are we there in Amplified? Say, they go from what? Strength to strength, increasing what? Victorious power. Each of them appears before God in Zion. Which time you come to Zion, that is the perfect judge. I follow him. What happens? Strength comes. How does God minister that strength? Very simple. Hebrews talks about it. See, you come out to Mount Zion to an innumerable company of angels. So angels come like the strength in the master, the strength in you. You may not know, but just you feel encouraged. You bounce back. You get to walk back again. So that's why that's the fourth thing that we need to do. So when we do these four things, fasting, praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit, meditation, spending time with God, and fellowship with the saints in Zion, are you following me? Well, that's where God is going to roar. He said, God will roar out of Zion. That's where travel comes from. I have gone through the corporate anointing. What happens? Then God now restores back to you the joy of salvation. Psalm 51, I believe. 51 verse 12. Yes, Holy Spirit, thank you. What does it say? Say, restore to me what? The joy of your salvation. And I'll pour me with that willing spirit. You see, because I said it earlier on, I said what Satan does with adversity, your joy goes. When your joy goes, you lose the joy of faith. You can't exercise faith again. And joy of God is supposed to give you strength. So what God does when you start doing those things we talked about is that God restores what? Joy of salvation. The joy of salvation. Joy of perfection. That thing you believe for. That thing you heard about. That the pastor has preached. Papa Rav has preached. And it has not come to pass. And the devil is saying, where is the promise of his coming? When you come and do those things, that joy comes back. It gives a spring, you know, in your walk. Then that joy gives back strength. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that joy is not just, it's fruit of the spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's why you see, is when you wait upon the Lord in prayer, in fasting, all those things, that joy comes. And like I said, the year of fruitfulness, joy is the fruit. I found that joy is restored back to you. You know, and like Mommy shared for recently, Psalm 16, verse 7. That was the same thought pattern that was going on in the psalmist's mind when I was writing about what will happen to Jesus Christ. Psalm 16, next one, verse 7. It says, I will bless the Lord who had given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Next verse. I have set the Lord always before me. Because of my right hand, I shall not move. Talking about seeing something in the mind. Next verse. See, therefore my heart is glad and my glory just. My flesh shall also rest in hope. What hope? The redemption of the body. I follow my plan. That's what he's trying to talk about. He's not talking about the hope we're talking about. Next verse. For thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. You know that applies to Jesus Christ. Next verse. Says, so you can imagine, this was what was going on through the master's mind. Thou will also show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. And thy right hand there are pleasures for evermore. Next verse. Is that the last verse? Okay. Fine, thank you. So it is as you wait upon the Lord that you experience that fullness of joy. That's why the Bible says that for the joy that was set before him. You see, but before the joy that was a cross. He said he endured the cross. That means the cross is before the joy. And he despised the shame. So in that place of waiting upon the Lord, in those four areas, now maybe many others, you know, God now restores joy back to you. You know, that joy is now the joy of faith that cannot lay hold on this hope of his calling that we are talking about. Praise the Lord. I think that ends the message. So God wants us to increase in strength in this day of adversity. He does not want us to faint. Let's bow our hearts to pray and then ask God for strength. Let's ask him for wisdom. Let's ask him for help. Let's talk to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Here we are waiting. Abide in us, we pray. Here we are longing for you. Hide us in your love. Hide us in your love. Jesus, more and more. Let's sing again as a prayer as we sing. Here we are waiting.
Here we are waiting. just you are clean. May we know Jesus. May we know Jesus more and more. Come live in us, all our lives, take over. Come live in us, thy will rise on me.
Respond to the Lord as put one out on our hearts and raise the other one to heaven in surrender. The Bible talks about Paul. It says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly then will I rather glory in my infirmities, at the power of Christ my rest upon me. As a Father, we confess our sins. And so we're clean with the blood from all our righteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name we'll have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you want to give me strength to enable me to give birth to the Christ in this day of adversity. I come to receive your mercy. I come to receive your grace afresh to enable me to wait upon you in place of fasting, in place of prayer, meditating in your word, and the assembling of saints together upon Mount Zion, knowing that as I do these things, you will restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and you strengthen me and enable me to give birth even to the hope of your calling upon my life. Thank you, Father, for your mercies. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for your love and help. In Jesus' name, let's have prayer in tongues.
Father, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood. We come in the matchless name of Jesus, under the authority and lordship of set spiritual fathers, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. So may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord God lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. The Lord makes us head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We're at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death, so we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, the perfection, and the fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. As the Lord anoints us with the anointings of Abraham, of Enoch, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit Rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell me, neighbor, the joy of the Lord is your strength in every time of adversity. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for coming.